Well, glad to be with you this morning, and I know that I would rather let this be more of a conversation and a discussion rather than any sort of presentation, because you might have a lot of questions about RUF that you didn't have before and you will develop over this morning, or you have a lot of questions that you would, so stop me at any place. I'm just going to start with my story a little bit, tell you a little about Christy, and then a little bit what's going on the campus. So, introduce you to what God's been doing there for, you know, 6 years. I grew up in the Bay Area, so I grew up in the Silicon Valley. The son of grew up on a farm in Illinois, who came out and did high tech in the Bay Area, and so I grew up in the Bay Area and got my undergraduate at San Jose State in religious studies and ancient history, and I was excited enough with that area of study to teach at a private Christian school in San Jose, and for 1 year I did that and taught water polo. So it was a great job, but I decided I wanted to go to seminary at that point. I had enough. I am the product of a number of guys who pursued me in church, and so I had a really good church experience of discipleship and ministry experience. I worked with my college peers. I worked with junior high ministry for 4 years. It was a great experience, and so I just knew that at that point I wasn't sure whether I'd be academic route or I'd be a sort of a ministry route. I decided to go to seminary, and in that area of my life, I grew up in a non-denominational Bible church, and I wasn't too aware of the Reformed world. These are in the late 90s. It was during my time at this private school that I became introduced to what we now know is Reformed thinking, and it was teaching the book of Romans to a bunch of high school seniors getting ready to go to college. And so when people ask me what does come to me on the campus now and say what does it mean to be Reformed, I say we really believe in the Bible, we really do, and so we teach all of God's word to students. We really believe in the full sufficiency of God's word to change lives, change hearts. That was my experience. So I ended up, after that year of doing that, I went off to seminary and went to Trinity Evangelical Divinity School because I felt like they had one of the best Hebrew and Greek schools. I thought it was a great school in the ancient texts. I felt like they had a good view of God's Word, and most of the faculty there are Reformed. So at that stage in my life, it was a good fit. I ended up graduating from TEDS, and which is an acronym for Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, so it's kind of a mouthful. And I developed a relationship with a small church plant in the Silicon Valley 2 years in when I came home for a year off when my mom was sick for a year battling breast cancer. I decided to take a year off of seminary. And during that year, she's good and recuperated, and by God's grace. And I also had the opportunity to get to know Drew Field, who is a pastor who planted a church, who's connected to Redeemer in New York. Came out, started this church in Silicon Valley, and I got a relationship developed there. And went back to seminary after that year off, and did an internship with a church in Chicago and a PCA church in Chicago. Started developing these networks of friends, and ended up winding up at Park City's Presbyterian Church in Dallas after I finished seminary, and that is where I met Christy. That's where she comes into my life. I'd finished seminary. I was an intern at Park City's Presbyterian with Skip Ryan, who was the pastor there, and we ended up dating, and I went during that year. I took the call to be a campus minister at RUF. At UC Santa Barbara, which of all places, it was actually the first RUF in California, and it started in early 90s, and they had two guys before me, and then I came on. No, in the mid 90s, I believe is probably when it started. And anyway, so I came on after a couple guys, and after 2 years of long distance, Christy decided to finally come my way from Texas. She was teaching at Southern Methodist University. She was on faculty there, and we've been doing RUF together now as a family. Carter came along a year, almost 2 years now. It'll be in August. It'll be 2 years. So that's kind of our story a little bit. Christy's from Virginia. So she grew up, her family lives in Richmond, Virginia, And so she's far away from family, doing ministry like a missionary, raising money with me, reaching an unheard of place, you know, out on the edges of the beach, you know, where students from Bakersfield love to flock to get to the beach, right? Because they want to get away from the hot weather, I guess, in the summers. But yeah, so that's a little bit about us. Are there any questions at this point of who we are and thing that I can help you with as far as the process of what led me to RUF or anything like that?
What does, you know, so I'm more familiar with coordination and all that sort of thing. So all the leaders of the RUF, the key leader or principal leader, ordained pastors?
That's right. That's right. Every campus minister is seminary graduated and then is examined and must be stand the test of examination of the presbytery and be ordained to before you know to receive the call to be a campus minister. So we're all ordained of the PCA according to the standards of Westminster Confession of Faith and our Bible content examinations. And so we also subscribe to the church government of the PCA. So we're all PCA teaching elders. And we're 155 and growing on this United States right now. So we got 4 in California. We have 1 at UCLA now, as Stu just mentioned. It's been there for a little over 2 years. And that's Joe White. You'll probably meet him soon, I think next week, preaching for you next week. And then we have two more. We have at Berkeley and Stanford. So that's where we are. We're hoping to get tons more in this state. It's just the challenge is raising lots of money to be in California. So. Yeah, does that kind of answer your question, I guess?
Also, a lot of it, your ministry, I assume, dovetails with the local church.
It does. So Santa Barbara, in Santa Barbara, we have a Christ Presbyterian Church. It's been there, 16 years now about-ish, Christy?
Yeah.
I think that's about it. Scott Bridges planted it. That's right. At least now. And they have their own facility. They're right in downtown Santa Barbara, located there. We have probably a good 15 students going there now. Depends on which Sunday you see it, but theoretically we have 15 students going to East Christ Pres. So I mean, you know, for a small church, you know, for a church that's about 125, you know, that's a good chunk of students. And then we got Westmont students coming down too, which is great. So it's a good kind of culture there. We have, you know, it is. Santa Barbara is a touristy town, but it's also somewhat of a university town. So it does create that sort of feel that when the students leave, all the churches change a little bit. So in Santa Barbara, so I'm well connected there. I basically serve alongside the staff. I'm at the staff meetings at the church. I preach there. I'll be preaching there in 2 weeks. Do the Lord's table pretty much almost every week for Kyle because Kyle has so much else there going on at the church and helps him out and usually involved in leading worship at some point. So it's great to be so highly involved at the local church and to give our students a glimpse really the passion of RUF. What sets it apart from any other campus ministry is that they would be primarily seeing their primary community as church. So we don't pretend that we're church when we're on campus. We are not the church on campus. We are as though we're kind of like, if you were to think of it along of a metaphor, if the church is a safe harbor from the voyages of life that you come in and find nourishment and equipping and sending into the cities, then we're like a lighthouse who takes hold of students and points the way back to the body of Jesus Christ. That they would find their places. They would begin to find and be equipped for their places. So our mission at UC Santa Barbara, at RUF, really is that they are being influenced by the full counseled preaching of God's Word on the campus. That they are there is a worshiping community outside of no sacraments on the campus because I don't play church there, but we also equip students to use their gifts, to find their gifts, and to pursue other students, to grab a hold of other students, and we want to see conversions, we want to see lots of new believers come into our midst. And so, you know, I can think of You know, for instance, I can think of a student named Weston who's involved on our leadership team. He's on our servant team. He went to Bakersfield Christian High School, and he's involved now on our leadership team, and plugged in. And what we've been doing is he's one of our most gifted gatherers in all of RUF. He brings one or two new people almost every Tuesday night for our service on campus, and it's been invaluable just to see him. He's a sophomore, begin to grow and to learn his gifts. And we the design of RUF is that where students are typically going to grow is if they're involved in the preaching of God's word, in small group ministries, and they're getting counseled and discipled through one-on-one relationship with a pastor. And that's what we're trying to do. Every campus minister is dedicated to the equipping of students so that they would see life as a ministry to the world and through the local church. And so Weston's just a great example of that. To somebody like Tamara, who's also a sophomore, she's from Morgan Hill, California, and she's got a Catholic background, and she is brand new to Christianity. She is thinking it through, and she is coming and hearing the story of Jesus. And she and I sit down every week or every other week and just read the Gospel of John, beginning to discover who is Jesus, just for who he is and what he is in the Bible, and kind of create conversations of it. She's still kind of curious. She's not quite sure about it yet, but this is what we're doing. We're, you know, from somebody like Weston, who's came out of a Christian background, out of Bakersfield, and is right geared to leadership, that we can continue to launch him and continue to cultivate his life and deepen him in theology and enrich his experience of Scripture and theology. And someone like Tamara, who we can kind of meet her where she's at, and continue to show her just the basics of Christianity.
I feel like I missed something or something.
Yeah.
So are you guys like missionaries to colleges? Is that what it is?
That's right.
Okay.
We are
okay.
Basically the PCAs. We are the PCAs mission to the universities in the United States and the world. We're now going to Greece, so in Athens. So hopefully that's the plan, is to expand globally.
Can you contrast your philosophy of mission with a parachurch organization?
Yeah, well, I mean, it looks and feels very different. I mean, you'll hear me preach a 30-minute sermon on campus. You will see me interlinked with my local church a lot. We will say that we'll communicate a lot that if this is your primary place of Christian community, you need to rethink this. Let's talk more about this. Let's get you plugged into your local church. So that is kind of a defeater to creating numbers, but it's always sort of a point of tension. But you know, we're ordained, so we do. I mean, I do counseling. I do, you know, the ministry itself looks and feels and smells a lot different on the campus because it is very church oriented, with ordained, trained pastors on the campus. So, we don't build a giant, a lot of the parachurch ministries will build a large volunteer staff to really do a lot of their sort of program, run a lot of different programs on the campus. So we're not opposed to programs, but we're not programmatically, methodologically driven. We're theologically driven, and methods are sort of, you know, not so primary as to what we're trying to do on campus. We're trying to be theologically satisfying and faithful to Scripture. And so, you know what? It's going to look a little different on campus than what you're going to see at your typical parachurch. We're not going to be baptizing any children or any students on the campus or in the ocean or anything like that, which is what happens when you're a parachurch and you're a little confused on these things. Yeah?
In San Diego, I saw a situation where Navigators seemed to work very well with the church down there. And
yeah, that's right.
Quite happy with it. But
yeah.
I'm sensing in your case, as an ordained minister, mm-hmm. Not like down there where there's more autonomy. You're more accountable to
that's right.
PCA.
That's right. I'm accountable to the PCA. I'm also I submit myself to the presbytery. So Yeah, I'm very much accountable. And yeah, no, there are good situations where Navigators is a great ministry. You know, it's going to look a little differently on the campus, but there can be great working relationships with that. So by no means am I, casting a dark shadow over parachurch ministries. But I think sort of historically, if you think, for some reason, I think, I don't know where and when, maybe it was the fundamentalist modernist, sort of liberal modernist controversy that the church itself began to kind of withdraw from the universities as a whole in the United States. But you know, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, InterVarsity and like Campus Crusade for Christ decided that we need to be on. So it was only the parachurches that are on the campuses. So that, like Stu introduced, you know, in the 70s, these men decided the church needs to be on the universities. And that's exactly why RUF, we believe RUF exists. And so we're putting ordained church ministry based things back onto the campus, and so it's going to look and feel and help them have develop a love of the church. Yeah.
So being in California is a little different for RUF.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not exclusive on the southern campuses,
right?
But people may have been in a PCA church, they go away to school, they're plugged into the RUF. What's the challenge on a large California campus? And the four campuses are large, secular.
They are huge. Secularism is the...
It's not like a bunch of kids from a PCA or...
No, that's right. Yeah, I think you named two challenges right there in just your statement. It was secularism is a huge challenge. Predominantly the worldview of any university faculty is predominantly going to look through the eyes of, secularist understanding that the only hope of this world is, further our education. Ignorance is the problem of man. We need to, we're at odds with the idea of sin and the need of gospel transformation to take place. So, that right there is secularism and the way we look at the world and the way we handle the world and the way we understand and diagnose the problem of man. That's a huge issue. So capturing the imagination of a predominantly secularist campus is you're already looking at a massive challenge right there. So, I would say out of 20,000 undergrads, 25 with grads, you're looking at probably just around hovering 2% of that campus is probably Christian. On a given week, you're looking at maybe 500 students that are actually involved in some Christian organization on the campus. That's really tiny.
So what do you guys do to reach out to them or try to?
Yeah, that's right. We just run around with Bibles and we just hit them on the head. Come on, man, wake up. It's tough. We table for the first couple weeks. We introduce ourselves. What we're doing right now...
Tabling,
I'm sorry. They have a whole week where we can set up, organization can set up tables and stand out there and greet and meet freshmen and sophomores and transfer students, seniors, anybody who hasn't heard of RUF, and we get a whole team out there and rotate people to meet our team and to get involved in our community and sign up for small groups, try to get them connected into small groups, try to let them know. We have a number of events that first week, on the beach, we have music and pizza on the beach for our first welcoming day. And later that Saturday, we have another beach day where we have kayaks and hot dogs and just volleyball, just to get them connected. It really is an outreach to kind of just get them, give them some sense of community and begin to announce to them what we're doing for the next coming week. What's the theme of the year? How they can hear more about Jesus. It really is a mission. It really is. And that maybe leads to the second challenge. The Christians that we get that come, they've never heard of Reformed. I mean, they don't even know what that is. That's kind of a cult almost to them. They just, they've grown up in a big youth group maybe, in a really cool, sexy, fun. They don't remember not much biblical knowledge. It's learning how. That's a challenge. You want to. You want to love them where they're at. You want to bring them along gently. You want to show them and convince them out of Scriptures alone, of Jesus alone, that they might be put their faith in Him alone, and love the church of Jesus more. So, I don't know if that's helpful, but yeah, question. Nothing so far. They are truly honest, tolerant people at this point. So we take full advantage of that. Yeah, they have no. In fact, I don't even know how much they really know that they have an ordained minister. Only a. They do. I do have a good relationship with the lady who's in charge of the student organizations. I think she has somewhat of a Catholic background, so she sees the value. She sees the value in a pastor student ministry, you know. And I tell her, hey, look, you know, if you got students, you want to refer to me for counseling issues or whatever. I'm glad to see them. You know, that's just trying to create more relationships with faculty is also a long term goal. That yeah, no, I don't. No, I haven't. I could. I guess I could. Yeah, I haven't done that. Yeah, at this point, no. We've kicked that idea around in RUF, but we haven't done that.
But so you have been not restricted, it doesn't sound like, in particular.
Not at all.
Nope.
No, Vanderbilt has undergone a restriction. All the campus ministries got booted off. That's an interesting thing. I don't even know all the details of that, but that hasn't happened here in California. I think we have this. They're generally pretty tolerant.
You meet in campus facilities?
Yeah, we reserve a room on the campus itself. Yeah. There's a question back here and then a question here. Yeah.
Does the university require a faculty sponsor?
Yes.
So you have
that's right. I do.
Professor
or a grad student. We've had a doctoral student a couple times because we usually get RUF attracts grad students as well because it's intellectually satisfying. A different, you know, it's just it's just a different philosophy of ministry. You know, Campus Crusade. A lot of people came to Jesus through Campus Crusade. Awesome. So, but they're just going to spend a lot of their time doing a lot of student testimonies, and they're not going to really engage with this campus with the means of grace on a regular diet of approach. So there's something about it that grad students are also intellectually going to be engaged and challenged with an ordained campus minister. Not to toot my horn, but I mean, I'm telling you, there's a lot of gifted, very intelligent, very smart guys in RUF. They're just... That's why we do this. That's why we ordain them. That's why we train them. That's why we send them to seminary, you know, that they would be able to hit and answer the biggest. This is the crossroads. Maybe unless a student goes to grad school, this might be the most intellectually challenging place in their lives. And so we want to hit them. What's that?
Because they're so busy.
And they're extremely busy. That's right. That's right. That's right. And so we're there to be a resource to them for that. Sorry again.
Say there's more intellect involved in the reform movement than in the universe.
Yeah, you might make that case. That's right. Yes, sir.
I'm interested in the expression how technology changes. The invention of paper and printing
right. Has
made education available to a broader array of people.
Right.
The cost of it.
Right.
The container and the computer allowed international trade, not
true.
Politicians in Washington. I'm just interested, do you see the social media, and I don't have a Facebook account that I know of.
Right.
But
it does.
Friends, but do you see this changing the way you relate to people or the way, like when I talk to my son in the car, I'm like,
right.
You and me.
Yeah.
Texting.
Yeah. Texting. Yeah.
I mean,
I mean, honestly, I don't really email my students anymore at all. Well, that's gone. I either say that. Sorry. It is. It is. I text and Facebook message. So I have a smartphone always now. That is my mobile office anyway. I don't have an office. So I'm on the ground on the campus, you know, mobile, doing everything, Facebooking. I set up all my appointments on Facebook. I sent out documents on my Facebook. Everything's everything is Facebook pretty much. Oh yeah. They're always on Facebook. I got on it this morning just to tell them where I'm at, pray for me, and just, you know, that's how we stay connected. It's destructive to community, and it's also can be a tool that can create community, can create and do some pretty cool things. But it can really destroy it if we're on it too long, you know, and other things, abusive. So.
I love that your goal is to get kids connected in a local community.
Sure. Sure.
Is that easy to do, or is that because I know when I went to college, I was 3,000 miles
right.
from home my whole life. So the university campus.
Yeah.
So how do you get them?
Right. It is small, gentle nudges over persistent, patient, pursuing students, never assuming they're ever going to have that desire to do that on their own. They're just I mean, your average student just. You're right. They just get absorbed up in that. I mean, the university is like an enclosed little city. It has its own culture, its own language, its own values, its own ethics.
They do.
And that's exactly why RF exists, really. We don't believe that they're going to... We need to take the church to them and incarnate that pastoral, theologically faithful... presence into their lives, and to help shape them and train leaders at the student level to continue to do that. And so the folks on my core group, I say I need you to be involved. I need you to come to our core group meetings on every other Sunday. I need you to come to every Tuesday night. And if you're leading a ministry, you need to be there at all of them. And you need to go to church. You need to plug into a local church. Everything else is gravy, you know.
It's a lot of one-on-one
it is. It is. Right. For instance, though, another cool thing is, I've baptized a couple students now at Christ Presbyterian Church. So that's a beautiful expression of that's when we say, bring all your friends, all your roommates, everybody you know, and you're going to let them see what Jesus is all about through baptism. Let's let this be an evangelistic moment. And let's baptize you into, or I'm not baptizing you to anything else but the Church of Jesus. And let them see that. And all your friends and everybody in RUF who's not sure, even sure of the role of the church yet anymore, the baptism moment is a beautiful expression of time for the campus minister to baptize a student in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit before the eyes of everybody, and to have the local pastors be a part of that whole process as well. That she is now placing her hands into the primary community above RUF, as this is her new community, and she's well on her way to making this her primary community. So,
no, you're okay. These kids are coming out of these youth groups and they're being separated from adults.
That's right.
And so, really, to them, hanging out with a campus group of same age people is normal for them.
That's right.
We've been there.
That's another big challenge, right? And that's right. That's right. It is. To put them with their elders and see little tiny rugrats running around all over the place, this is a beautiful thing. This is why another reason why REF exists is to get them out of the idolatry of youth, I guess, is probably the way I would say it in our culture.
What sort of outreach does Christ Pres have?
To the campus?
Yeah.
To the city?
Or to the students that are coming?
We're still thinking of, the pastor at Kyle is generally new, but they do have a college lunch.
Uh-huh.
And so somebody, an elder or a deacon or just a congregant member will open their house. No, they open their house up and we just flood them with students. You know, they put food out there for us. You can pray with us on this. I want to have a little bit more, even more. In this fall, I would like to have families of the church bring food every Tuesday night large group that we have, and that we could have a festive time to reach freshmen, fun, food, you know, just kind of like food and the Word of God and music. And, you know, another thing we do at RUF is we actually sing hymns, which is something that doesn't happen. So we blend it. We blend it like 60% Indelible Grace style hymns, which is, are you familiar with Indelible Grace music? It's taking the ancient hymns. It was started by an RUF campus minister, and they just put it to guitar music. You know, we can't bring an organ in there or nothing like that. So, you know, they put it to a very familiar sound that a college youth student would be familiar with, but they're actually singing Isaac Watts. Okay, so, you know, so this is, you know, this is what we're doing at RUF. That's a little bit, but yeah, getting the local church more involved, linking hands with the local ministries that they're doing in the city. We want to do more of that in the coming years, but right now, hopefully Christ Press continues to grow, but we got a number of students serving in the nursery, babysitting for families throughout the week, serving their church in that capacity, you know, work days, clean up the church, whatever sometimes, you know, that's rare, you know, whenever they need that, to call upon us to help with that. What else? Am I missing anything, Christy, as far as local church stuff? Yeah.
I mean, I think of just a couple girls recently that have been baptized and how they are in our church. I mean, one of them, Christina, she's about to graduate in just 2 or 3 she's getting married. She's just got a job in Santa Barbara. She's staying there with the fiancé's moved up. She's a member of the church. And I mean, it's really fun to see her kind of transition from her primary community being college student at RUF to, I mean, she's really involved in the life of our church. It's really fun for me as someone who's discipled her and led a Bible study for the last 4 years to watch her, like, just grow and transition in that stage. She and her fiancé are really excited to be a part of it, and it's awesome. And then I think of another student who's a sophomore right now, who just baptized her a few weeks ago, and she's getting ready to study abroad in France for a year. And studying abroad is a really challenging time for students. I mean, not only are they away from the fellowship that they have on campus, which is hard enough to find in the first place, but then they're in a completely different culture, growing, learning, the teachers that they have and the environment they're placed in is very secular and has, I mean, no inclination of leading them to being in fellowship, but we've been able to connect her with missionaries through Mission to the World who are serving in the city that she's in right now, and she's already contacted them and talked to them, and I mean, I think our students are excited and seeing the benefit of being a part of the body of Christ and across the world and wherever they are. And it's really fun to see them growing in those ways. And I also just think of students who graduated who are now members of churches. And I mean, some of them are in Los Angeles, all over the place. But I can think of a number of our students who graduated who are now actively serving and involved and members of their local churches, and it's either for me, when I graduated from college, I had a lot of friends involved in ministries who never went to church again once they graduated, and that makes me really sad, but it's been really encouraging to see our students as they graduate, it's awesome. It's sad to see students graduate because you feel like by the time they're juniors and seniors, they're finally mature enough to serve and then they leave. But
right, exactly.
It's exciting to know that, you know, when they leave, they're ready to go. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I was just thinking of something else. You know, when you say you're an ordained minister coming into a campus climate where there's a lot of vitality, there's a lot of youth, there's a lot of vigor, there's a lot of beauty.
There is.
Not a lot of experience.
Right.
I've heard stories about companies that have shed too many senior people, and they brought onto themselves some pretty roller coaster rides where everything is bigger than life.
They
didn't have enough people around that have been through this kind of thing before.
Right.
And it seemed to me that you could do that. You know, you're among people that are pretty smart, pretty vigorous.
Right.
But should overreact in a lot of situations, everyday situations.
Right.
Perhaps that. You know,
sure.
That's the Word of God. You just have this experience of living over it for a long period of time.
Right, right.
Shared with them right there where the fires might start.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I hope so. I pray that's so. That there's some, by God's mercy, yeah.
was going to ask Christy, have you been able to be a part of the ministry?
Yes.
I mean, obviously a little more challenging right now. But.
Yeah, I mean, the addition of a child certainly means that I'm chasing somebody else while I'm doing ministry, but they all love Carter. They know him very well. He went to his first RUF when he was 2 weeks old.
Yes.
That was quite a distraction, but he had a lot of fun. But yeah, I mean, before I met Jameson, he mentioned I was a faculty member at a university, so I'm not shy or uncomfortable in a university setting. I've pretty much been on a university campus since I graduated 10 years ago, either when I was working on my graduate work or actually lived in a sorority house as a graduate student to minimize my costs. Got free housing by living in a sorority house and being a house mom. So I'm very familiar with the college campus and everything that goes on there. And served as a teacher. So when I moved to Santa Barbara when we got married, we made a decision to make RUF kind of my full-time job, volunteer job, I guess you could say. But it's that's all I've done. And now that I'm a mom, I spend about half as much time in RUF. But I lead a Bible study with girls every week. I meet with girls regularly. A lot of times they're now coming over to the house where we can be in a baby-proof environment and run around without too much distraction. But we love being part of the ministry. As a former faculty member, I've enjoyed helping students realize that they can think as, these kids are smart, they're thoughtful, and I think a lot of them come in thinking that their relationship with God and Jesus is something separate. And they walk into a university classroom and hear these incredibly intelligent professors talk as if, well, that's just silly. And to help them realize that they can use their God-given rationality and intelligence to think about a creator that is the creator of science and the creator of all these. I mean, it's incredible to help them walk through and see how the gifts that God's given them intellectually are from Him and used to serve Him, and help them realize that their professors don't always know everything as much as they'd like to pretend that they do. So it's fun.
Right. I mean, that brings up a good story about what a resource that a campus minister can provide on many levels is, we had a student named Emily who's graduating now, and she was taking a course in New Testament theology from a professor who was a renowned expert on Jesus, historical Jesus. And so, I mean, she was really thrown into doubt. She grew up in a large mega church in Orange County and came up here and was really, faith was rocked. One of our girls invited her to RUF, and I sat down with her for coffee. I said, tell me about this class. What are you learning, and why is it so hard? Why is it throwing doubt into everything you believed about Christianity? And then I said, why don't you show me your bibliography, the course required books that the teacher has you reading? And then you go down the list and you say, aha, it's completely one-sided. And so let me give you 3 or 4 books. Go read those a little bit on the side. Let's come back and talk. And there you go. Now she's graduating. She's been on our leadership team. I mean, just been a blossom of work. Went to Greece with us last year and did missions work for the summer and served the local church in Greece. And this girl is just blown up. It's awesome. That's the kind of story that an RUF can do on a campus. Can I pass around? If you're interested in getting our newsletter, this is a sample of our latest newsletter, and it gives you a little glimpse of our students and our new intern that we're getting this year to help us a little bit. She's graduating from Stanford to come on board with us and help us, taking 2 years out of her life to serve our campus with us. And if you'd like to take a prayer card, I've included these. There's 3 things that you can pray with us about. I really need your prayers. You can just pull this out. It's a little perforated card. You can put it in your Bible. And if you're really interested in getting a brochure and just learning a little bit more about RUF and how you might want to even support us financially, I'll have these brochures for you as well. So this really gives you gives you some statistics, what RUF really in detail is about, some pictures about our recent retreats and such. So I'm just going to pass these around, Stu, and let you take a look at those, and I'm glad to look at those. Are there any other questions? And we got another, 10, 15 minutes to... Yes?
When I went to college in the early 70s, we found Campus Crusade, they didn't care what church you went to as long as you came to their meeting function. Where you had Church of Christ, to be a Christian, you had to go to a Church of Christ.
Right.
So how do you deal with this?
Yeah, that's a really tough one. I mean, there's a lot. Obviously, at a personal level, I want them to go to Christ Presbyterian Church because I believe the word. I mean, because for a number of reasons, it's gonna be more gospel centered. It's gonna be more biblically faithful. It's gonna put them in a church community that has people who are their elders and young kids. It's got a better. So I share my students. Here's what I basically do with students who are broad evangelicals. They've never heard of RUF. They've never even dreamt of going to a church that has higher liturgy or some sort of rhythm with a call to worship and a confession of sin. These things are honestly youth group styled church experiences. Is going to be the common experience for your average Christian evangelical student coming to UCSB. Gentle nudges that I continue to kind of engage Socratically with students over what open the Bible, have them read some J.I. Packer, have them read some folks who are going to engage them a little bit differently. Kind of capture their imagination a little bit with church, and you know, there are some healthy alternatives, and there are some churches that, you know, I'd just be like, pretty frankly, you probably shouldn't go there. I mean, it's just, you're not going to grow. It's not, I don't even know what they're doing with that. That kind of actual wisdom, though, is very. We get together monthly with all the other campus directors and leaders and pray for our ministry and for our campus and for each other. But there's definitely, you can tell when you sit down and you sit in chairs, there's absolutely no discernment over church. It's just kind of like, as long as you're going to church, you know, and I do have some pretty hard objections on that, and I have to kind of hold myself back a little bit. I have to ask Christy to hold me back and say, we got to love these students and do it in the way that doesn't, just tear up their faith as where God has them at this point. You got to realize that they are coming out of a lot of things before, and we got to be gentle with them on this matter. And just getting them to go to church and love their church is a big step right there, and then move from there. Give them, hopefully by their, it's usually like Christy was saying, their senior year, while the time we're saying goodbye to them, they're hopefully, we're going for the long haul here. Well, hopefully they are of a healthy, maybe they never went to a good, what I think is a solid church growing in college, but they've been to RUF. Hopefully now they have a palate that's capable of discerning what would be a gospel transforming community of faith that they can be a member, actually member of. They can take vows to. Wow, that is, we have made progress if that happens. Somewhere in the year, next year or two after they've graduated. But
typically there's one big church in Santa Barbara that they all go to their freshman year.
Yep.
Every freshman at UCSB that has any interest in God whatsoever goes, which is interesting.
Yeah.
20,000. But, and then If they start coming to RUF, eventually by their sophomore and junior year, they're like, huh, I kind of feel like I really do want to go to church with you guys and try that out. And then
sure.
By their senior year, they're by the time they're really going to go to this church, then they're graduating. But they go somewhere else, and the beautiful thing about the church is that we exist in many places. And so...
These are beautiful discipleship moments, too. I sit down with my leaders and they said, what church do you go to? And they go, yeah, well, tell me what you think of, and tell me positives, negatives, not to try to create a consumer mentality in their heads about church, but just tell me. I'm trying to help them process, and I can insert myself a little bit here and there and give sort of wisdom and like, have you thought about this before? Well, then they open up somewhere in scripture and like, Timothy, like, oh, you got to have elders in a church. And there's officers and like, uh-oh. So, you know, you got like biblical things going on here that we've never thought about before. Oh, maybe church is a little bit different than just this over here. So, hey, the Bible can do a lot here if we just open it. Yeah.
This is another analogy, but I've heard the saying, like with stocks, you can have gains and price going up and down. But ultimately,
yeah,
the thing is, if we're down the road for somebody, it's going to pay a dividend.
Yeah.
If you know it's not, then all the intermediary stuff.
That's right.
So could I say with you that your goal with these students, it may happen tomorrow, it may happen 5 years from now,
right,
your goal is to get them into a church and participate.
We are in it for the long haul. That's right. Participant members and kingdomly, integrating their faith into whatever God calls them to do in the long run. Whatever they do, whether they're a landscaper, a teacher, or a stay-at-home mom, this is a high calling for the kingdom of Jesus Christ to advance His glory and fame across the world. I got a student right now I just talked to on the phone yesterday. He's going off to seminary, Westminster Seminary Escondido. I mean, that's one student I graduated. Another student I'm graduating, she's going to leave, and she's going to go work with students with speech impediments for the glory of Jesus to help bring speech correction into their lives. And so, two totally different paths, very much valuable in the kingdom of Christ. One's probably going to be in church, full-time ministry. Another one's going to be full-time ministry working with children who outside of the church in sort of a parachurch style thing, you know. That's why I kind of look at parachurch, but anyway.
I think that's a huge part of what we're doing. Our UF looks different than other ministries, at least that I was a part of in college, is we tell them, you're here to be a student. That's important. We want you to succeed academically. Like, it's just not always great for our leadership team to say, hey, stay home and study when you have a test instead of coming
right
to this, because you need to study. That's important. I was a teacher. It's hard for me to say, you know, I'm always like, okay, let's work on your time management and study skills. Like, I want them to be good students so that they can serve the kingdom of God with the gifts that He's given.
That's right.
And that doesn't always mean that it looks great for our ministry, because that means that a lot of, especially during midterm, a lot of them are
gone.
We try to help them learn to study at appropriate times so that they can do other things as well. But we want them to be good students. We want them to see how to use the gifts God's given them for the glory of God, and to be missional in their vocation, to be people who go to work and pray before they go to work, thinking of how they're going to work for the glory of God and how they're going to be missional to the people around them, that the co-workers would know the glory of God through what they're doing. And that's part of what we're trying to instill in them as students. And it's exciting to see them doing that when they, you know, we have one student who graduated a couple years ago, and he's now doing his postdoc at UC Irvine in physics. And I mean, it's amazing to see him involved in his church, serving his church. And
he's on the missions committee at church there in Redeemer in Newport Beach.
And he's also
PCA church.
Just like made this like groundbreaking discovery that like the professor beyond him, I don't understand.
No.
A physics professor, but the things he's doing are incredible, and he's a guy who loves the Lord and knows God in the world of physics, and is able to share with other physics professors and teachers and students how God made light, and that is incredible.
Right.
And it's just fun to watch them and the gifts that they have that I don't have, but using them for the glory of God.
That long-term story that we're kind of committed to at RUF is, you know, we don't believe that you're necessarily going to see like renewal or transformation of a campus from the grassroots evangelism thing that we do on campus in the present, because we only get a student for a couple years and then they're gone. I mean, so really, I believe that if you're going to renew universities, they're going to go off, get their PhDs, come back as faculty into these universities, and that's where you're going to see radical renewal in secular universities with a Christian worldview coming back in physics arenas and beginning to talk about the glory of you know, the eternal Son of God, you know, the eternity of Jesus Christ and how He holds the universe together. You know, there's some physics for you. I mean, you know, so anyway, that's sort of a story. He'll end up teaching on faculty at some university somewhere. We're hoping in California. That'd be awesome. But well, no, it's hard to get a job now if you're a professor. Yeah. Biblical literacy, probably predominantly. There's no hunger and thirst for righteousness. There's no hunger and thirst for God. It's an undeveloped and stunted, unfortunate desire within them. I think it was Spurgeon that says, "What you win them with is what you win them to." And if you've won them with entertaining games and such all the way through, that's what they're. It's a shock when you like keep giving them heavy doses of scripture. So that's a challenge. The church is a challenge. They're used to a church that functions more like a parachurch than a church in their experience. Youth idolatry is a challenge. They want to be around just young. They want to be with their peers all the time, you know, and that's getting them out of that and putting them into awkward situations where they're around people they're not used to being with is a challenge. Can you think of anything else, Christy? The challenge for the Christians coming in that we have, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't hear what you just said because I was just being posed in
the
eye.
But you think that's funny? That's not funny.
But I think, you know, UCSC is a campus that, I mean, every campus has its own kind of unique environment, and the reality is that UCSC, I think, is a school that a number of students come to, with the exception of probably a few programs, because they've heard that it's a huge party school, and that it's a big
party school. Yeah.
You can't walk into Isla Vista without, and I've been at a lot of universities that were called party schools, and I can legitimately say that UCSC is unique in a number of ways. I think that it's a challenging environment for students to be in. I think the majority of our students we meet, a lot of them, if they did grow up in the church, they kind of hope to get away from it for a little bit in college and like break out on their own and find themselves. And thankfully, the Lord is in control and He finds us. And so they do eventually come out. But it's a challenge. It's genuinely a challenging environment to be a Christian. There's not a lot of. Mm-hmm. I mean, I, having been a faculty member at various universities, both private and public. I can genuinely say that it's a challenging environment for a student to be a part of. They're surrounded by things that distract them from the Lord and make it seem as though being a Christian is ridiculous. And so that's challenging for them. And I think helping them find community, find fellowship, find encouragement is so important. And I also just do think that a lot of them just come in very, I did too. We're all learning and in a process, and I think that a lot of them are.
Yeah, I mean.
We find the one thing that's, I think, been really neat about our class, because we are so unknown, is that your typical Christian student doesn't come in saying, "Oh, I'm going to go look for RUF." Because they're like, "What is that?" I got asked one time in school if we were, because it looked like rough, they thought maybe we were there like rescue animals, our job, but no, we're actually a Christian organization. So we don't get the students that are simply coming out of the church and looking for Christian fellowship. So a lot of times what we do get are the students who are more skeptical, okay, who have never been to church before, or who aren't.
Go see Mama.
And it does look amazing, but they come with a lot of, it's amazing to see what God's doing in their lives, and it's incredible to see that, but it's also challenging because they're just learning things for the first time, and it's a process. It takes years. And like you say, by the time they've probably gotten it, they're graduating. But that's, you know, it's the need, it's the beauty of what God's doing through that ministry. Mm-hmm. But it's that.
Individualism as well, very individualistic, broken, fractured family backgrounds, predominantly huge. That presents a challenge. But
you say, "Oh, well, I listened to this podcast by a pastor the other day. This is kind of, it's just like going to church. I watched
that's true.
iTunes. Yeah, like I pulled out my iPhone and I watched this guy.
Yeah, that seems so.
I don't need to go. I just slept in and did my own church. Or, well, I went down to the beach today and I walked on the beach and thought about God. So that's like going to church, right?
Right.
And it's better than not.
Very individualistic stuff going on.
We're about out of time for this session, but James and Christy and Carter are here with us for the morning, so continue to visit with them. So maybe you could close in prayer.
Father, we praise your name, and we do thank you for this ministry and the people involved in it. We do see that there's a lot going on these campuses, Lord, where many people's lives are changed in one direction or the other in very profound ways. And we do thank you for your work in on these students, and we look for ways to participate and to see and understand what's happening in these places. In Christ's name, I pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bill.
Okay.